The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Hello.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Karen, nurse practitioner.
Hi, Leanne, stand-up comedian. Extraordinaire.
Oh, you angel.
You've been busy, haven't you?
I have been busy. I've been traveling a lot, and I'm about to travel more.
I know. You're going to California next week?
Mm-hmm. Sweet. I'm going to California Saturday, and I just got back from Sacramento and Portland, Oregon.
And was that fun?
So fun. And darling, it was me for a dry bar comedy tour, and it was me and four men.
Really?
On each night, or three men. Three men.
Just
four
men. Like four.
I don't know. Lord, they were so funny, though. And we had a ball. And it was like four guys from out west in this country woman.
So you went as a group to these different,
places. It's part of the dry bar comedy tour that, you know, the videos that have gone viral.
Yeah, right, right.
And the special I have now on drybarcomedy.com. It is like the people, they try to get the comedians that have had viral videos and go on tour in the country, and they're adding more dates, and there's more dates coming this spring.
Is that what you're doing next week too?
No, this is just by myself in Bakersfield, California. Yes, and so, and then I go to Texas twice this month: Austin, Texas, Cap City Comedy Club, and LOL in San Antonio.
Oh, I love San Antonio. I went to school in San Antonio.
Oh, that's right. Well, mm-hmm. You know, we lived there. Do you remember when my babies were little? Oh, I love it.
Yeah, such a beautiful city.
It is.
Love it, love it. Well, yeah. Good. I'm so glad you're so busy. Although,
well,
Lord,
you.
I might have to get another comedian for the podcast.
I know, and then you're doctoring people, and you don't get a day off. I know. We're hoping we can keep this coming to y'all because we enjoy it, and people are and seem to be loving it.
Yeah, getting a lot of good feedback, which is great. So today we're going to talk about PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, and we're going to talk about that because my son Forrest reminded me, y'all need to talk about PCOS because you mentioned it like 400 times. We're going to talk about that next time. We're going to talk about that next time, and we haven't talked about it. So we're getting it done today, although we may need to do future episodes about it too. But
I did not realize how common. And how more it's common, so common now. Mm-hmm. And one of my girls was in a sorority in college. Mm-hmm. She said, I cannot tell you how many people have PCOS in that sorority. Like, in thin, heavy, tall, short, it does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
It hits a bunch of people.
Yes.
Why is that, Karen?
Well, I mean, some of it is related to our obesity rates. You know, obesity definitely it puts you at higher risk for developing PCOS. And you're right, there are plenty of thin people who develop PCOS, but definitely obesity puts you at higher risk for developing PCOS. And so as our obesity rates increase in the country, so do our PCOS rates. And also, you know, our diabetes rates are increasing in the country, and PCOS is really a pre-diabetic state. They're similar in many ways in that we have insulin resistance, problems processing our blood sugar and insulin. So certainly PCOS that is untreated certainly puts you at higher risk for moving into full-blown diabetes. Mm. So it is important to address it. And what PCOS is, for those who don't know, is what we call an anovulatory state. It's when women do not ovulate. Typically. And part of the reason that happens is that, well, the main reason that happens is that in ovulation, we form a cyst, a dominant cyst on the ovary, and that happens during the first phase of the cycle where we have more estrogen, and the estrogen forms a cyst on a dominant cyst on the ovary that usually ends up being about 2 centimeters in diameter, and then it ruptures and releases an egg. In PCOS, women don't form that dominant cyst that is the avenue for that egg release. We end up forming a bunch of tiny cysts on the ovary. So that's why it's called polycystic ovarian syndrome, poly mini cysts. Mm-hmm. And none of those cysts are functional. So we just have all these cysts all over our ovaries. We're not releasing an egg. And the secondary problem with that is that when we release an egg from that site of ovulation, we form a tiny organ called a corpus luteum. And it is from the corpus luteum that we secrete progesterone. So not only are we not ovulating, but we're not forming progesterone. And progesterone thins the lining of the uterus. And so when people have PCOS, they're at higher risk for the lining getting thick. And then they don't shed it because they're not having periods because the estrogen's also usually low. So we get a thickened lining. So it really puts us also at increased risk for an endometrial cancer because that lining gets thick and is not getting released monthly. So the third thing that happens is we have far more testosterone secretion from the ovary. And so typically people with PCOS have high testosterone, low estrogen, low progesterone. And that high testosterone will cause what we call hirsutism, where we have, you know, facial hair, much more body hair, and acne, hair loss. So it's a big hormonal mess, really. Mm. I mean, just everything's off. So there are multiple ways to treat PCOS. Number one is, if obesity is a factor, is weight loss. Even a 5 to 10 pound weight loss can help correct PCOS. So making some dietary and exercise changes can really help. Not only because of the weight loss, but when we eat a healthier diet, we have better blood sugar and insulin control, which is part of the dysfunction of PCOS. You know, there is a website I was thinking about telling our listeners about called Forks Over Knives.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've heard about it. Mm-hmm. A patient talked to me about this recently, and it's a really good website, and it's a plant-based diet.
Yes, but there's a documentary on Netflix.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
See, you're on it.
Well, because I travel with the Trish Sir from Los Angeles, who is plant-based, and she talks about that documentary, and What the Health is another documentary. And then I just heard of another one called Eating You Alive.
Mm. And a patient also recommended a book called How Not to Die, which is also a plant-based diet plan. So, you know, there are a lot of tools out there. I mean, even if it's not a website or a book, there are all kinds of apps. I'm sure that I should look, but I'm sure the Forks Over Knives probably has an app you can download to help you guide you in eating. And now it's tough for the sorority folks that you were talking about because, you know, they have a chef on board. I mean, that sounds sort of nice, but but you know, they're eating whatever's cooked
in their
for them.
Meal plan. Because
I've had some patients who are in sororities who really, you know, struggle if they have need gluten-free diet. They've sort of had to modify what's been given to them. Mm-hmm. So that's a little tricky when you can't control your own diet. But there are, point is, there are plenty of places to find a healthy diet regimen to follow. So medications we can use for PCOS include anti-androgen medications, meaning they're medications that lower testosterone, because that's a big part of, as I said, the hirsutism, hair loss, acne. And so we use metformin for that, which is a diabetes medicine. So metformin also has some anti-androgen effect, but also helps correct some of the blood sugar insulin problems that happen in PCOS. And it's safe in pregnancy. So in young women, that's a big consideration. We also use spironolactone, which is a water pill, a diuretic. It is a more potent anti-androgen than metformin. However, it can cause birth defects, specifically under formation of male genitalia in the male fetus. So you want to make sure when in a young woman is conception age is on some kind of birth control that keeps pregnancy from happening while you're on spironolactone. But it works nicely for the testosterone piece. Of course, there are other diabetes medications that have been used, like Victoza, which is a GLP-1 receptor agonist, and it is a daily injectable medication. It's not insulin, but it helps regulate blood sugar and insulin, and it also suppresses appetite because it slows gastric emptying or emptying from the stomach. So it helps with the weight loss piece as well. The other thing that's used mainly to prevent that thickening of the lining are oral contraceptives or hormonal contraceptives. Another option, if people don't want that much estrogen, is to do like a Mirena IUD that has a progestin on it, because that thins the lining of the uterus. So that would be, that's primarily just to keep the lining from getting too thick. So,
how do you know if your lining's too thick?
You would have to have an ultrasound, a transvaginal ultrasound, and that is helpful in the diagnosis of PCOS, because with a transvaginal ultrasound, we can see the ovaries and see the tiny cysts. They have sort of a string of pearl appearance on mm-hmm. the ovary. And then we can see if the lining is thick. And we want to look at that in relationship to where she is in the cycle, if she is having periods. There are some people with PCOS who have periods. A lot of people, because they're not ovulating, don't have a period at all. That's part of the PCOS thing. So you're not having periods, but your lining is getting thicker because you're not making progesterone either.
Oh. Gosh.
Leanne is looking overwhelmed. Yeah, it's a common problem. And I think a lot of it is our lifestyle, the majority of it.
Is there certain exercises or types of exercise that are better for people with PCOS?
I think, you know, anything that's fat burning would be good. I mean, you know, just to burn excess calories, or, you know, burn off calories. It's always calories in, calories out in terms of weight loss.
So cardio and weightlifting. Yeah. Any of that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, doing some resistance is helpful, because the more muscle you burn, you create, the more calories you burn. Muscle burns calories. So,
and what's the enemy as far as food? Sugar, carbs, bad.
Yeah. And
white and refined flour, yeah, all that.
And high fat foods. Yeah.
Like fast food.
Like a lot of saturated fat.
Okay.
So again, we're back to that, you know, forks over knives kind of diet, where you're eating predominantly plant-based foods, and plant fats, good fats like avocado and, you know,
nuts and nut butters and all that. Mm-hmm.
Versus what you had for Thanksgiving breakfast. You know, at your inn, you know, a lot of, you know, animal fat. Yeah, it's not good.
And that kind of diet is so helpful for, like, fighting cancer, right?
Right.
And all kinds of things we're finding out that plant-based.
Yeah, because if you reduce inflammation, which you will if you're eating a healthy diet, a clean diet, as some people refer to as a clean diet, you reduce all kinds of risk for all kinds of disease processes, including cardiovascular disease. And
Did I tell you, I had just done a show in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Oh, where was I? Outside of Greensboro.
Yeah.
And a woman introduced me, and she was a beauty. Mm-hmm. And she was about 55. And she said, I had a heart attack. She said, it runs in my family. Mm-hmm. It's very prominent in my heart disease. Mm-hmm. And her doctor, her cardiologist said, read this book. And I can't remember what but it was about being plant-based.
Right.
And reversing
vascular disease.
Vascular mm-hmm. disease. Mm-hmm. So she did it and came back 2 months later. And he goes, what in the world have you done? She goes, well, I read that book and I did what you told me to do. He goes, oh my gosh, nobody. No. He goes, you don't understand how many people I've given this book to. And he said, nobody has done it but you. Can I tell people about you? And she goes, yeah. And she said she lost 25 pounds. She said, I really didn't even mean I was just trying to save my life.
Yeah.
Because I think her father had died early.
Probably.
Yeah. And she said, I'm just trying to save my life. And I drop 25 pounds. All of a sudden, my energy goes out the roof. But she is plant-based. I mean, she's vegetarian. Vegan. She's vegan because she doesn't eat any dairy either. She said, I can't have it.
Yeah.
And the woman that hired me to do the show that was standing there, she was vegetarian. Mm. And wherever I go now, it's more and more vegans and vegetarians and plant-based.
Yeah. Well.
And so this is a big component that would help people with PCOS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, really the diet and weight factor is step number one. I mean, diet changes, working on weight loss is definitely, we have medications to do that, to help with that. But, you know, lifestyle changes is the biggest thing. And same with cardiovascular disease. I mean, we can give you statin medications and beta blockers and ACE inhibitors and all those things. And they're all good meds and they do important things for cardiovascular health. But, you know, if you make changes like this woman did, it's the biggest thing you can do. And you see, I mean, this is sort of the experience of the practitioner is most people don't do what you recommend. So
I know.
But I think that's human nature. It's hard to, you know.
Well, let me ask you this about PCOS. Can someone reverse that by doing a different lifestyle and losing that weight? And then can they hopefully have babies?
Yeah. And I will tell you about that in just a minute. We're going to take a little break.
Okay.
Before I give you that info. And you're going to hear about some other podcasts that are available through Scruffy Audio Network. Fun things that you'll probably want to listen to.
Hey guys, this is Troy and you are
Lee.
Lee from Why Would You Go There? And we want to tell you about the best podcast ever. Although this is going to be in the middle of other people's podcasts. So we maybe don't want to say that.
Okay.
I will also tell you the two funniest guys that you've ever heard.
So true.
Why Would You Go There? Podcasting about travel, and it's super enjoyable because we are hilarious. You've got to listen to us.
Do it. Yes. Hey, it's Miranda with Talk Stranger, the podcast where we meet with strangers and we discuss subjects from paranormal to true crime to old story fairy tales to people who are blue that live in the mountains of Kentucky. It's weird. So look for us and listen to us wherever you can find a podcast, or don't. I mean, I don't care. Either or. It would be nice, but you don't have to.
Okay, so can we reverse this? Absolutely, you can reverse PCOS. Those people who've had PCOS are still more likely to develop diabetes down the road. So maintaining those lifestyle changes is really, really important. They're more likely to have gestational diabetes. So if those things are, those lifestyle changes are implemented, it really ought to be a lifetime commitment, because you are more predisposed for those disease processes down the road. But yeah, it can, just like your person.
You can reverse that, and then a woman would be fertile.
Right.
But if she doesn't, is she more likely to have fertility problems?
Oh, yes.
If you fight PCOS?
Yeah. With PCOS, because you're not releasing an egg, it's pretty hard to get pregnant without an egg. So, you know, there are some procedures like wedge procedures, where they actually take a wedge out of the ovary. You know, I don't know even how often that's done at this point. I only know a couple of my patients who have had that done. And, you know, or doing fertility treatments, so you can ovulate. That, you know, some people have to do that. But, you know, and it's interesting, on that note, some people who have PCOS, some of that can be triggered with people who have gluten intolerance. So one thing to look at is be tested for gluten intolerance, possibly celiac disease, because that can cause infertility by putting a person in an ovulatory state, so they don't ovulate. So I've had a couple of patients where when we put them on a gluten-free diet, they had no periods, they had no, you know, obviously we're not ovulating. And when they remove gluten from their diet, they began having periods. And both of the ones I can think of right off the top of my head have had a couple of children. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be, it can be celiac, or it can be just people that are gluten intolerant. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
I have one patient who, I guess when I saw her first, she probably was close to 30, if not 30, and literally had not had a period. I think she had a couple periods when she was a teenager, and then hadn't had any periods since then. And when I, you know, tested her for gluten intolerance, she was gluten intolerant, really more celiac disease. And more severe than intolerant. And she started having periods, and she's had two kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's another thing to consider. I'm not saying that applies to everybody, but certainly gluten sensitivity or gluten intolerance or celiac disease are highly linked to diabetes. So it's definitely worth looking at anyone with PCOS or anyone with diabetes or pre-diabetic.
Okay, so I have had people ask me out in the United States after they have gluten intolerant, is that a real thing? And I even at a grocery store here in Knoxville, I was looking for gluten-free something, and the manager said, that's not really a thing. And I thought, does he realize that people have celiac?
Yeah.
And I don't have celiac, but I'm gluten intolerant. Then how stupid is that? But anyway, the gluten thing is a thing. That is a real thing. Because I think people get out here and think that, oh, that's just a fad. that, yeah, you know, to sell all these gluten-free whatever, but it's not.
Well, and, you know, there are tests to see if you have antibodies to gluten or gliadin. And there is a genetic predisposition for gluten intolerance. Yeah, there's a genetic test that can be done to see if you are genetically predisposed to developing gluten intolerance or, you know, gliadin antibodies. So, yeah, so it's a real thing. It's definitely a real thing. And I think, too, we're so overexposed with gluten. I mean, we put gluten in everything because we like things thickened and stretchy and, you know.
And so everything, there's too much gluten in all the products that we don't even realize it's in, right?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of times we'll develop intolerances to foods that we've been over, where there's overexposure, where you're eating it every day. So, yeah, so that's definitely something to look at with PCOS and diabetes, prediabetes.
Does Victoza, if somebody was... Because that's hard to get approved for that, right? Mm.
Unless you have diabetes, yeah. It's hard to get it approved for somebody pre-diabetic.
Even if you do go in and have an ultrasound in your vagina, and that vaginal... Well,
yeah, if you can document PCOS, I think there are insurance companies who would pay for that. It's so dependent on the formulary that's on your insurance company plan.
Oh,
you know, yeah. It just usually you have to fail metformin first before a GLP-1 receptor agonist is approved. But it's getting harder and harder to get medications approved for people. So it so depends on the formulary that's on your insurance plan.
Oh,
so. I'm going to read a couple of reviews. Is this from Apple Podcast?
Oh.
Cora says yes. So we have one review from Julie. Says it's super funny. She says, oh my, this is the best podcast to listen to on your drive home from work. I always learn something and just laugh while trying not to pee my pants.
Oh, we love it when somebody pees.
At the dialogue between Leanne and Karen, when I get home, I am nicer to my family. That's good news.
I know, that is good news.
Are we nicer to our family? I hope that works for us.
I know, but isn't that sweet? Thank you, Julie.
and we have another review says, amazing. Such good information. Karen is the bomb.
Oh.
I don't think that's ever been said about me, but thank you so much. And I want Leanne to be my new best friend forever.
Oh.
We can drink wine and talk about leaky bladders. Call me.
Oh, how fun. Thank you.
I'll just read one more. So good, y'all. My gynecologist is going to love me next time I'm there. I'll be armed with questions, suggestions, and requests for compounded therapies and pellets. Yeah, your GYN will probably be cursing my very name.
Ah, how fun, though.
Yeah, those are great.
That's so nice.
Thank you so much.
We love doing it.
I'll read one more. Almost wet my pants. So hilarious. Almost wet my pants on the stair mill. Is a stair mill?
Like a stairmaster?
One of those step.
Oh, good for her out there doing it. Hard. They've got one at my gym, and I just look at it.
Well, clearly we don't even know what it's called. That's a sad sign.
Oh, but isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, so good to hear from everybody. We really, really appreciate your comments and suggestions. That's so helpful to us, and glad to hear that we're helpful to you.
I know. How wonderful.
I know.
And I travel all over the country, and people come up to me and go, I'm listening to the Sweaty and Pissed.
I know.
Menopause
so
and more. I know. They try not to say pissed in church.
I know.
And when I do big churches, but pissed is really like a cuss word in Tennessee. And my mama, and somebody told me the other day, they go, it is in Georgia too. But, and I apologize for that, but you know what? It's funny.
Yeah.
And my 20-year-old came up with it and said, Mom, you're always sweaty and pissed. Why don't you call it that? And it gets huge laughs everywhere we go. Apologize for the Tennessee cuss word.
Yeah.
But we enjoy it so much. Yeah. And people say, oh my gosh, I learned so much from Karen. And I just sit and write down suggestions. So you brilliant, frail, skinny thing. Well, sitting up here eating plant based.
Well, you beautiful, hysterical thing.
Oh, you angel. Full figured, but I'm going to get with sweat rolling down my crack right now, but I'm going to do better. You inspire me. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll be back with another one. Thank y'all for listening.
Yeah. Take care.